1025. Hi, I'm Irene Watson. I'm your host for today. Well, today I'm delighted to be speaking on the phone with Sue Ann Bowling. She is the author of Homecoming, a science fiction novel that taps into individual loyalties which put them in conflict with one another. But the only way they can reach a future which will benefit is to work together. But first, a little bit about Sue Ann. Sue Ann Bowling earned her A.B. in physics from Harvard Radcliffe in 1963 and her Ph.D. in geophysics from the University of Alaska Fairbanks in 1970. As her dissertation was on ice fog, which, by the way, isn't found just anywhere, she stayed at the University of Alaska Geophysical Institute until she retired in 1998. Yes, she says it was an early retirement, but she was having vision problems at that time and could not drive to work reliably. She still lives in Alaska in the suburb of Fairbanks called North Pole. Hi, Sue Ann.
Hello yourself.
Well, I'm sure glad to be talking to you and all the way from North Pole.
Well, it's not the North Pole. It's a suburb of Fairbanks, Alaska.
Oh, that's too funny because when I heard that, it's like, well, that's interesting. And you probably get a lot of the same comments as North Pole.
Yes.
But you certainly have written an interesting book, and one of the things I wanted to talk to you about in this book is our paranormal abilities. I know that this is some of the things that go on in your book, and the ethics of using paranormal activities, and I just would like to kind of hear what you have to say.
Well, I have a protagonist who has abilities of telepathy, teleportation, and so on. And one of the things, one of the main things that he has to learn is the ethics of using those. Specifically, for instance, he turns out to have the ability to heal. Well, in order to do that, he has to actually go through the mind of the person he's healing. And what are the ethics of that? When can he go into another person's mind, particularly if they are unconscious or otherwise unable to give their consent?
Well, I know that many people that do teleportation or telepathy or any type of healing in the paranormal realm can do that or say that they do, and how do you feel about that? I mean, you know, you're fictionalized it in a story, but I know that in living people are supposedly able to do that.
Well, I think in part, in first place, it depends on consent, if that is possible. Obviously, in some emergency situations, it is not possible. Telepathy, of course, can also be used to simply strip the memories from another person. And what are the ethics of that? So that essentially it's very much like a surgeon. A knife can be used to kill as well as to heal. And yet we give a surgeon permission to use one on us.
So do you feel that, let's say for telepathy, that it only works with consent, or do you also feel that it could work without consent?
Oh, it could work without consent, but that would be the ethics I am looking at. Basically, that is the equivalent of rape.
In your book, what the healer inside your main character, what ethical situation does he actually get into, and what decision does he make?
Well, the ethical situation right at the beginning is that he cannot save a person who is being tortured by another. What he can do is essentially cut the person completely loose from all awareness of his body. And he has a good deal of mental struggle initially over whether this is right or not.
So you as an author, but also as a person, what all Do you know about paranormal ability? Do you practice them yourself? Did you do research?
Oh, basically, it's normal science fiction, mind reading, and so on.
Uh-huh.
Essentially, I made them up.
All right.
And in fact, one of the points that I'm going to come up with in a future book is that rules don't get made about things that are assumed not to exist.
It'll be interesting to read that one, too. Now, you mentioned that, you know, we talk about normal. So science fiction, you know, is just way back when people wrote science fiction. Actually, now some of the things that they wrote about are reality.
Yes.
And so I'm wondering how you feel about this book that you've written, Homecoming, if some of the things you've written about in, let's say, 50 years from now, they could be reality.
This particular book is, I think what you're thinking about is hard science fiction, which is basically an extrapolation of today's science and where it could go. What I'm writing is more social science fiction. It's putting people who are fundamentally human, even though they, in my world, have some abilities that our human beings do not, and putting them in a world with different societal norms and essentially seeing how they react. In a way, you could say that the different social norms are looking from a different point of view at some of our social norms.
And so what are some of the social norms that you address?
Marriage being two parents and one children of them. In my world, for instance, a lot of the child rearing is actually done by third parties. Also, the permanence of marriage. It gets very difficult when you have a species, or in my case also a hybrid species, in which they're only fertile for a very short period, say a few days out of each 100 years. You cannot, in a situation like that, expect that two people are going to stay together forever. These are people who have lifespans that may be thousands of years long. On the other hand, they almost never have more than one child at a dependent stage at a time, so that the social norm for marriage is that two people stay together as long as the child needs them. But once the child grows up and is independent, normally the marriage is dissolved.
Well, there are societies now, you mentioned that, you know, marriage and the normal two parents with children. And then you mentioned that, you know, in your book, third parties are raising children. But I know that in some societies, and even here in the United States, that the grandparents raise children. And so in that social realm, it's, you know, that is normal there.
Right.
In that society.
Right. To my mind, the important thing is that there is somebody who is responsible for raising the children.
Uh-huh.
You don't go having children with nobody to raise them.
What about categorizing into groups? This is another sort of a social aspect. And how do you feel that there are groups? You know, we're always categorized into groups and social levels.
Right, but you can't do that in terms of predicting how an individual person is going to react. They may react quite differently or be quite different from what we perceive as normal for their group.
Yeah, and, you know, the word normal is just, you know, what is normal, really?
Right.
Yeah.
There is no such thing.
Exactly, because, you know, your normal is different than, could be different than my normal and my neighbor's normal. And so it's just really, and I think that a lot of times all these different groups in our you know, thoughts and perceptions cause a lot of issues in our society.
Right. For instance, we tend to, at the moment, the big problem is our reaction toward the Muslim idea.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, there are, I mean, there are extremists in every religious group, and by I take a very broad view of religion. I would include, for instance, things like capitalism and atheism and, as religions.
Yes, and that is so true. And it seems that each group, you know, thinks that they're right. I mean, and, you know, there are wars over religion as to who's right and who's wrong.
Right. There is a tendency for the extremist elements in any religion to think that their beliefs are so obvious and so true that anybody who doesn't subscribe to them is either a devil or inspired by one and deserves to be destroyed.
Mm-hmm. And gosh, when it goes down to the basics of most religions, it's the bottom line is love.
Yes, and people tend to forget that, unfortunately.
They do, and it, you know, that comes up. I mean, you know, every day when you turn on the news or, you know, or read the newspaper, there's always something that contradicts the original thought of religion.
Right.
Mm-hmm. What about school bullying? You know, that's kind of a big thing right now in our society. And I'm not sure how much exposure you have or if this is something that's common in the area that you live in.
Well, I'm afraid very little exposure since I don't have any children, and my own school days are a long, long time ago.
When you were going to school, was there bullying going on?
There probably was, and I didn't notice it.
Yeah. There was when I was going to school, and, you know, I think it's very different than what it is now. But I just remember also that I went to a very small school. It was only two rooms and three grades in each room, and there were only three girls in my grade, and they would, you know, three's a crowd. And I just remember how we would take sides, and we would be, two of us would be friends, and we'd bully the other one, and then all of a sudden something happened, and the two of them would be bullying me, and, you know, things are very different now in the bullying, too. And how do you feel, what do you think the base is? What's happening with these children that there's so much bullying going on?
I don't know. Quite frankly, I don't understand it. My protagonist does get kind of set upon by others in the school he's eventually sent to.
Uh-huh.
But I don't understand it any more than he does.
And so how does he come out of it?
With difficulty, and basically only because he eventually winds up with a friend who is a couple of years older, who is acting as his protector.
Well, it seems to me that that's kind of a common thing, too, in real life, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, and especially if there's an older brother or sister to look after the little one. That's one thing I didn't have, but that does happen for sure. So the... I just want to kind of backtrack and back to the family and the importance of family. How do you feel? You had mentioned that, you know, marriage, two parents and children. Is that how you personally feel also?
As far as it being the only way to raise children, no. I think it's a very common way, or was a very common way when I was growing up. I'm not so sure it is now.
No. Certainly not. Many single parents, many parents of the same sex that are raising families. That is for sure. And
I think every child needs role models for both sexes, whether they are the ones who raise a child or not. I don't know that that's important.
So did your main character have a role model?
Eventually, yes.
Uh-huh.
And initially, the fact that his mother cared for him and loved him. Being a slave, he was separated from her very early. But she gave him a good start.
So I'm very curious, Sue Ann. Science fiction, that's something I admire people that can write science fiction, because it takes so, I believe, so much imagination. And I just want to talk to you about your writing experience and where did all this stuff come from that you're writing about?
Well, actually, the writing, I suppose you could say it started back 30 or 40 years ago. Not the writing part, but the imagining part.
Uh-huh.
And it's grown very slowly and eventually got to the point where it had to get out of my head somehow. And about 15 years ago, I started writing down bits and pieces, which eventually became Homecoming.
And so with a lot of this imagination, or are you using any particular people as, you know, character references? How do you come up with the storyline?
The storyline has developed in my head initially, and then when I started writing things down, I found that I needed other pieces to put in. It's been a very continuing process over about the last 15 years. And in fact, parts of bits and pieces of the story were added in at the final editing stage when I had a professional editor go over it with me.
Did you have fun writing?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
I actually started writing this before I retired.
Uh-huh. And so, is there a next book?
There is a next book. It has already been sent in and is awaiting editorial review at iUniverse right now.
Uh-huh.
And I'm hoping that it will get out probably early next year.
Is this a sequel to Homecoming?
Yes. This starts about a year and a half after Homecoming ends.
Uh-huh.
And it actually involves some of the same protagonists on a vacation planet, taking a vacation, and not realizing that somebody's trying to kill them.
Well, I'm just admire your imagination and your ability to write science fiction. That is for sure, Sue Ann. What is your website address?
www.sueannbowling.com.
That's SueAnnBowling.com. Thank you very much, Sue Ann. This has been just a real pleasure for me to talk to you and just get a little information on the book, but also where you're coming from. And there you go, listeners. We just spoke with Sue Ann Bowling and her newest book, Homecoming. Check it out. It's an interesting book, and I'm sure that you will just love it. Thanks again, Sue Ann.
Thank you.
And this is Irene Watson for Inside Scoop Live, saying goodbye. Come again and listen to other interviews.